Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. Back with depression, Alex, the Chiefs won.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And what's going on, Angela? Yeah, Chiefs won. Hey, we weren't expecting it. At least I wasn't expecting it to be that close. You were the day off.
Yeah.
You talked
Which,
about
by
it.
The way, shows my character. I said if we record today, I would have flipped my thing. But did I flip my thing? Because we have the results on the app. Did I flip it? No, I did not.
No.
I took my L.
You truly did. I mean, you took your L, you took your losses, but you still won the week. So I guess we'll start by saying that. You won the week. Let me double check that. Come on, now we're very close. But this week you went 7-9. I went 6-10.
That's terrible. Those are just terrible. Terrible week. Terrible week.
Yeah. Worse than the first week. Still.
I need to stop agreeing with you on these picks. What were we on the picks that we agreed on?
I have that here as well. So on the picks that we agreed on, we had, how many were they?
You said there was like 6 or 7.
Yeah, I added in a note here. We agreed on 7 picks. We were right on 1.
Oh, my God.
2 picks. 2 for 7. So we got Tampa Bay right, and we got Pittsburgh right.
Did you say 2 out of 7?
2 out of 7. Got Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh right. Then we failed KC.
Do me a favor and just whenever I say like a pick, just disagree with the pick. Like goddamn. so you can live off on Loser Island, and I can have my 80% or 60% win back.
Again, just want to point out, as I said in the previous show, if Minnesota were to cover the number and win the game, I needed some credit because I was thinking about Minnesota. You flipped my opinion with your argument, but I was leaning Minnesota.
They did not get sacrificed.
They did not get sacrificed whatsoever.
The sacrificing is over. Very early this year compared to last year, honestly.
Yeah, injuries are piling on. What do you think, prior to us start talking about the games and whatnot, what do you think? Do you think there's more injuries this year, or do you think... Yeah, but is it actually, or does it just feel like it? Because players that are injured are like relevant names.
They're big. Yeah, they're very big. And not only that, we had injuries, a lot more, at least it felt like there was a lot more injuries to a lot more marquee names going into the season than normal.
Yeah, that's also correct. And there were also the players that weren't injured but missed a bit of time, so they are underperforming and whatnot.
Like we basically missed Jordan Love because Jordan Love got injured week 1.
But so, he is practicing today, which kind of weird, but
yeah, it's a good sign.
Yeah,
that's kind of thing. We missed Jordan Love. Tua's career may effectively be over. We'll see. I'm not a doctor. I'm not making any proclamations, but. It is his fourth concussion in what?
No, I was saying, I believe after we finished recording the previous show, he was put on IR. So he was put on
So he's
IR.
gone
He's
at
going to
least 4 weeks.
miss, yeah, 4 weeks. But I believe Ian Rappaport mentioned that the Dolphins are basically doing this to give him all the time that he needs, and that even after he
Make
comes
a
out of
decision.
IR, yeah, it might not be just like the IR. It could be more. So.
His career may or may not be over. Like they said, that's between Tua and his doctors. I'm not making any proclamations or statements. I'm just stating the facts we have. So, yeah, no, we lost Tua. We lost Jordan Love. We lost T. Higgins before the season started. And we lost Jordan Addison. Did we lose Jordan Addison week one or before the season started?
No, he went off on week one. So he
Yep.
played, then got hurt like in the third quarter or fourth quarter, if I'm not
Yep.
mistaken. Then he got
Oh.
injured with a hip drop tackle, if I'm not mistaken. He should be
Yep.
back this week or next week, but it looks like it.
Yep, we lost Kenneth Walker.
Yeah,
We
that's gonna
lost
be
David
a week or
Njoku.
two.
Yeah, no, there's just a lot. I feel like it's just a lot of marquee names.
Yeah. Keenan Allen as well.
Yep, we lost Keenan Allen. Although, hot take, I think Keenan Allen might be washed even before the injury.
He could, for sure. But still, I mean, it's still a big name and a weapon that they
This
were
big name.
relying upon. So
That's
it hurts the
true.
offense in general. AJ Brown as well is gonna, like, apparently that was just like
Oh yeah.
dropped at
I
Thursday
forgot
Night
about that.
Football.
Yeah.
Yeah,
AJ Brown's
reported.
done for going there.
Yeah, no. A reporter was just like, yeah, so AJ Brown just told me that he missed this week, and it's likely that he's going to miss a few more. And it's just like, we never heard any of that. So where did that come from? But yeah, apparently he's going to miss a few more weeks. They didn't say if it would be just like one more week or 2 more weeks, but it seemed like it was going to be more than two, because they didn't say a couple, they said a few. So I'm expecting him to miss at least 2 weeks, maybe more.
And let's not forget the we had Ja'Marr Chase and his dick measuring contest with the Bengals and Brandon Ayuk and his dick measuring contest with the 49ers. They basically missed the entire preseason, and honestly, I don't think either of them have looked very good in the first 2 weeks. Granted, I guess I can't say that about Ja'Marr Chase because, like, bad for Ja'Marr Chase is still a pretty good NFL wide receiver. But Brandon Ayuk, on the other hand, he has looked very, very rough.
Yeah, but at least Brandon Ayuk looks rough, but as a new deal to brag about. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this was the first time ever Ja'Marr Chase had a target share of under 15%. I believe he had a 14 point something this week. So definitely less involved. Again, we
I
talked
wanted
about
to
what could
wait
have been.
until we talked about the game, but quite honestly, it looks like Ja'Marr Chase is gave up on multiple plays where he knew he wasn't getting the ball. I don't know if that was obviously it was the Chiefs' game plan to take him out of the game, like no doubt. But I don't know if that was frustration with not having a contract or if that was frustration with the Chiefs' game planning basically to shut him down. And because that is a frustrating situation to be in, or a combination of both. But Ja'Marr Chase looks like he isn't giving the same effort that he gave the previous 2, 3 seasons, quite honestly.
Do you think that's something that can continue, or do you think as the
I do.
season goes on, he sort of forgets the situation, he gets more entrenched with the team, faces worse matchups? Because if I'm not mistaken, Cincinnati, usually we talk about this when we talk about week one, but September is usually a rough month for you guys.
Yeah, it
And
is.
after that, your schedule sort of opens up. So, and it's this week even. I mean,
But to be
your
honest,
guys
we
are.
faced the fucking Patriots. We should have demolished the fucking Patriots. So
I mean,
I don't know.
yes and no.
I think
You
when T. Higgins comes back, it's going to be better. It's just flat out going to be better when T. comes back.
but I mean, it's kind of a yes or no. Because yes, you should have destroyed the idea that we had of the Patriots, but the Patriots actually look quite solid on defense, at least. So I don't necessarily think that you should have wrecked them, really. Especially like the current display of you guys and like missing the second wide receiver, having to use a guy that is probably like a wide receiver three, a red zone weapon, more as a wide receiver two in Andre Yosivas. So I think yes and no there. But I mean, this week you're facing like the worst NFL secondary football for like 2 years now.
Are we facing the Giants?
No, you're facing the Washington Commanders, who are
the Commanders,
the worst secondaries. Yeah.
Nice. I'm about to say, I knew it was an NFC East team, so.
Yeah. The division that could be the worst division in football.
It looks like it.
So.
Honestly, maybe not, though. The NFC South does have a solid case.
The South, I wouldn't say so.
So the South has by far the worst team in the Panthers.
Yeah, but they have the two best offenses right now. In football.
I guess that's true, yeah. True.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have a stat here in terms of QBs. Derek Carr leads the league in yards per attempt and touchdowns. Baker Mayfield has 9.7 yards per attempt. So,
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, go.
The idea that the Falcons were just going to run away with this division is looking like a pretty bad take by both of us.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, in the last episode prior to the season start, I made the case.
I know I had the Saints getting Carolina. More wins than you did, but I don't think it was by that much.
Yeah, but I mean, I had a case made for Carolina. Now, I picked the wrong NFC South team. But the whole base of this was that maybe just like Atlanta isn't all this. Maybe Atlanta still has a rough defense. Maybe Atlanta struggles at the start because of Kirk Cousins with the injury. We said this on the show. So it was a possibility that we put up. But now it sort of fall flat because I said that maybe the Panthers would be the team to take the division. So that's
honestly,
not correct.
The Falcons have held up their end of the bargain on that prediction because the Falcons offense has looked not what we were expecting, quite honestly. The defense looks a lot better for the Falcons than the offense, which is crazy to think about, considering all the weapons they have.
I will say that in Thursday Night Football, Kirk Cousins at least looked, and I guess it could be sort of a trend, because Aaron Rodgers also came off of the Achilles injury in the second week versus Tennessee. He looked
a lot
bit
better.
More agile.
Yeah,
he looked a lot better. He looked a bit more agile. Looked like he could move in the pocket. And so did Kirk, to be honest, versus the Eagles. I mean,
that makes sense because, once again, you injure anything, whether it's an arm, whether it's a foot, leg. That first game back when you're doing something is the most nerve-wracking because you're wondering, okay, can I do this? Can I do that? Because you're doing all these things that you did like day after day after day, year after year. And then you just had to stop doing it for a full year, basically. And now you're trying to figure out, okay, can I do this at this game speed that I'm used to still? And that probably gets inside your head, quite honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would agree. And as long as the season goes on, I think it's definitely a case of them just improving and improving and improving. Getting more used to it, trusting the bit more. I think the mental part is the worst. It's just trusting again that your Achilles won't just suddenly tear again and just burst. And it's just that scare in the back of your mind that 100%. You need to avoid that happening at all costs. So, yeah, as the season goes on, they will look a bit better. I think we probably overreacted a bit, as most people do, to
Here's
be honest.
But here's the thing. Even if the Falcons' offense looks better, this is an overreaction, and I get that. But right now, at this exact moment, if you told me the Saints made the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be surprised. Through 2 weeks. The way they're playing, they look like a Super Bowl team the way they're playing. I'm not saying they're going to maintain that. But they look like a flat-out Super Bowl contender the way the Saints are playing.
Just want to point out something here. Derek Carr right now has a 12.8 touchdown percentage. So in terms of passes, 12.8% of his passes are touchdowns right now. For context, in terms of this number, Peyton Manning never had a year of 9%. So that's 3% more for Derek Carr. Aaron Rodgers never had a season over 9.1%. and Lamar Jackson in his MVP season at 9%.
So what you're saying is if Derek Carr maintains this, he's the best quarterback. He's had the best year quarterbacks ever had. That's what you're saying.
Almost. I think there was one guy in 1943 that had a touchdown percentage over that, and it was Sid Luckman with a 13.9% in 1943.
Yeah.
Where I'm fairly certain they threw the ball, what, 10 times? I just want to say, so 43 is touchdown percentage. Yeah, 13.9. They threw the ball 200 times.
Yeah. Derek Carr will have that by the first quarter of the season being over.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of think this is probably going to come back to the norm somewhat. For context, I was trying to find out the number here. But his career touchdown percentage is 4.5.
I haven't looked at the odds. There's no way that – I don't care who the Saints face. There's no way that the spread difference is more than, like, 1 or 2 points. If they even give the Saints points, there's no way.
I think that line flipped quite a bit. Mm-hmm. We'll get there when we get there. They are facing the Eagles.
So you can
imagine what happened there after the Thursday night football. I do believe that the line that we'll have on the app is not the actual line right now because, again, this line's closed on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So but I think there was a bit more movement right now, and the Saints are no favorite, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. But in the app, they're still getting points. So
I believe that.
But yeah, okay. So we have a few games, baby. We have a few games to talk about that we left off. Do you want to talk about your KC Cincinnati? Do you want to talk about it a bit more, or is that good enough for you? I know you had some thoughts on Chase in general.
There's a few things. Chase was part of it, so. Obviously, Chase had a terrible, I believe they called it unsportsmanlike conduct on Jamar Chase, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to remember the game.
Apparently he said something mean to the ref. Let's put it like that.
Yeah. So apparently it took a 3-7, which is manageable, to like a 3-22 or something like that. Like I said, I don't remember exactly what happened because I watched this game like 3-4 days ago now. But I think the people who say that was a make or break in the game, it was bad. Don't get me wrong. Jamar should have kept his cool in there. But the undisciplined nature, I think the fact that we are undisciplined in some of the most key moments for the Kansas City Chiefs is fucking ridiculous. Quite honestly. And I was talking to a friend. He's like, the refs bailed the Chiefs. I was like, no, we fucking lost to the Chiefs. We beat ourselves. So we ruined one of Joe Burrow's best games. Zach Taylor coached his ass off. We got 2 interceptions on Patrick Mahomes. Do you know how fucking rare that is? And we blew that fucking game because of a fumble and a few undisciplined actions on the It's just frustrating to watch, quite honestly. It's frustrating to watch us game plan for our best wide receiver to be taken out the game. It fucking work. And then we blow the game.
Yeah. A fumble 6. Let's remind of how rare that is. Fumble 6.
Yeah.
So it really felt at times that neither team really wanted that win. Because you had Mahomes making like silly plays just in general from him that we're not used to. We saw maybe the best interception we're going to see all year with Cam Taylor-Britt.
Patrick Mahomes looks like a fucking human against the Cincinnati Bengals defense, and it's against no one else's defense. And I don't know what it is, but I love watching it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And just like, then you guys seem to be in the lead for a bit. You seem to have somewhat of a control. Then Joe Burrow with the fumble lost.
Fumble 6.
Fumble 6.
Like, other than that fumble, Joe Burrow played an immaculate fucking game.
He did. I mean, he played great. Yeah, and it was much better than what he did versus the Patriots.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes it's just the luck of the game, and now you're 0-2. There's been a stat running around. I really don't really care all that much about it. Of the 0-2 teams that make the playoffs, but like that stat tracks from 1990, and as we know, like the playoff teams, there's one more team making it every year than it was back in 1990. And there's one more game as well than it was back then. So I really don't think that stat carries any water. And now I find like the team is still alive to make the playoffs.
Come on. The fucking Steelers are 2-0. They're working on fucking Mike Tomlin magic. That's going to run out. And the Browns seem like they can't figure out the fucking offense. The Jags made Deshaun look like a good quarterback for two drives, and that's why we won. And the defense, obviously. Why the Browns won.
I mean,
I'm sorry. True, the Ravens and the Bengals are not going to stay in the fucking basement. I hate to break it to you if you think that. But they're not going to stay in the basement of the AFC North.
I mean, I definitely think both teams are likely going to win this week. So, spoiler alert. As you said, I don't think they're going to be in the basement. I still think that Cleveland's offense, although they did look a bit better versus the Jags, I still think they're quite bad.
It was two drives, Alex. It was two drives.
No, but like in general, versus what you had on week one, where Watson looked maybe like the worst QB in the whole NFL, I think he at least looked, he didn't look good by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he at least looked competent, like an above-average QB, or a below-average, my bad, below-average QB. So a competent guy that can at least do something with that offense. But it's still, again, it's still not a good offense, and I don't think it will be. I still think their strength is the defense. But as we saw last season, like their defense really didn't travel all that much.
When Nick Chubb comes back. Because if Nick Chubb can be a semblance of Nick Chubb, I think the Browns will still be fine, but we'll see.
I didn't really understand what they did in the run game. If I'm not mistaken, like they gave the backup running back. Now they gave Deonta Foreman like 14 carries.
Deonta Foreman, yeah.
Yeah, and he did absolute jack shit with it. So kind of weird. Like Jerome Ford had like 64 carries on 7 attempts. Deonta Foreman had 42 yards on 14 carries. So, I mean, as you see, like, the explosiveness doesn't really seem to be there. Maybe they saw something in game one.
Running back.
Yeah. This leads me to believe that they maybe saw something because, like, Ford had most of the stuff on game one, on week one, especially, like, passing game-wise as well. He had most of it.
Maybe he got gassed in game one and they were trying to alleviate that and give him more time to rest and hope for more splash plays out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe they saw something like some mistake in press protection or something like that that they didn't like. So I could see something along those lines, but it's fairly clear that Ford is their best running back right now. So, but yeah, you're not worried about the Bengals. Are you worried about Chase? Do you think this, as we spoke, do you think this is just going to continue to improve as he gets into shape, basically, and into form?
Yeah, I think by week five it'll be fine because A, we'll have T. Higgins back, so the rest of the NFL won't be able to replicate what the Chiefs did to us to take Chase out in week two. And I do think his mentals will improve as he, you know, accepts that he doesn't have his deal and moves on the football. What I'm worried about is if he fucking leaves us. I'm not going to lie.
Do you think so?
I think it's possible. I really do think it's possible.
I think at the end of the day, they'll probably come to an understanding and the owner will probably shell out the money that he wants.
Why go through this whole Lazada thing if you just planned on signing the deal anyway? Because let's be honest, if you wait and then someone else gets paid more, then he's going to want more. So if you're going to just do it anyway, why don't you just fold early so that when the next person gets paid more, Jamar isn't asking for more?
Because two things here. One of them is that the longer you wait to give the extension to Chase, the better it will be in your cap. So your cap numbers will be a bit more manageable because instead of, imagine you give him the extension right now. Next year, it's probably going to be cap it in around the, I don't know, the 17, 15, depending on the structure of the deal, but it's going to be a cap it in the 15 to 17 million dollar range. This year, it would be a bit less. And then after that, it's you're probably starting to enter in the 20s. If you wait a year to give them the extension, you're probably doing the process in reverse, because with the fifth-year option, his cap it is going to be like 20 million, something close to that. If you give him the extension next year, you probably put that down to the 7 to 8 million. Then after that, so in 2026, you're probably looking at a cap it in around the teens. And then 2027, you hit the 20 millions. So I think it's just a matter of timing. And plus, add to that, that the guys that would probably get the money that he demands and the guys in his range all got the extension prior to him. So CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, all of those guys have already gotten the deal, have already signed the extension. They're already like the highest paid. So I don't really think you're risking anything there. You will always have to top those guys no matter what, or at least match it. So if you wait a year, you just get like the cap situation a bit more sorted, and it just stretch out a bit better. That's at least how I interpret it, and why I think they chose to take this route. Also, like, he's dealing with one of, if not the poorest quote unquote owner in the NFL. Like, I believe Mike he has Brown. The yeah, I believe yeah. He is the only guy that is not a billionaire in the league. So. It's still extremely rich, of course, but it is true. Like, he is the poorest of the owners, at least according to the reports that I saw early this year. So I think it's just a matter of that. I think eventually they will sit down. They will get the guaranteed money right. All the bickering to the media will stop. And, like, I think your guys are probably going to keep him.
I hope so.
Because if this looks bad without T, imagine how it looks without Chase and T.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to what it looks like without T. I'm not gonna lie, because I'm watching what it looks like without T, and I'm not gonna lie, it resembles kind of like the New England Patriots when they had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. Just a bunch of tight ends out there, and Joe Burrow's throwing to tight ends. That's really what it looked like against the Chiefs. I'm not going to lie. It looked like a New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. It literally looked like Bill Belichick made that plan. I'm not going to lie.
It did. I mean,
I'm serious.
He at least learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Except we were doing with Mike Gesicki and Eric All and Drew Sample. I can't believe Eric All got snaps already. I'm not going to lie. Good, though. Man. He looked good.
He looked good. So at least have that. What did you think of Zach Moss and Chase Brown? By the way, still like one looks average. Chase Brown, the other looks average
Chase
plus.
Chase Brown looked better than he did before. Zach Moss still looked like Zach Moss. He has like a few good plays and then a few plays where what are you doing? I'm not going to lie. That's my Zach Moss assessment. Gets okay. Shut down, has a big play.
That bit of a fantasy advice, since we're not in that show. But you would recommend us to hold on as a Chase Brown owner in a redraft league. Do you think I should keep him? Any chance that he maybe gets to snag that job later in the season?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
I think there's a chance he takes over pass catching duties. A good chance.
Okay. I need it, because right now running back two is Samaje Perine, so.
It's actually our league. I have a league where Isaac Garrido is in my starting lineup. And it was Dynasty Nas.
Yeah.
Not good.
Okay, so other games that we wanted to talk about, and since you went through the struggles here, I'll go through the struggles with the Titans. With the Titans.
I'm about to say the Titans.
I was looking at week three instead of looking at week two. No, the Colts. Overall, not a good game. Like interception.
He had more completions. Hey man,
he had more completions.
He didn't just throw it 50 yards, and that was they called it a day. He did that 9 times.
Hey, he got 34 attempts. Yeah, he didn't look great. I think so he finished up with 204 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. One of them I really don't count it. It was the El Mary interception at the end of the game. So don't really think that matters a whole lot. I really think that the big thing here, and I'm hoping that it changes now, is that they are missing a weapon like Josh Downs. And you know that I've always liked Josh Downs. So maybe it's just a bit of a wishful thinking here, but I really think he's a different wide receiver from the rest that they got. They got Alec Pierce, they got Michael Pittman. They seem to both be running the same sort of concept routes. So it's everything sort of deep with both of those guys, which is weird. Then they have Adonai Mitchell, and Adonai Mitchell did had some buzz in camp that he would play slot and that he would be able to play slot well. In Josh Downs' absence, but he really didn't click there. And he's also running a whole lot of deep routes. So it seems like the Colts are a bit like the typical Madden player who runs like four verts and just throws balls deep in order to get something going. And I think it's hopefully going to change now with Josh Downs. Josh Downs said today to the media that he expects to make his debut this week. So I'm hoping that with this weapon included in here, the middle of the field and the short side of the field and the connection that Richardson had built with Josh Downs last season during camp and in the two games that he played, I'm hoping that that plays a role here and that this offense gets a bit more dynamic and they have a bit more of some juice to the playbook, because now it seems really stale and it seems like they are a one-trick pony at this chance. But yeah, didn't look great, didn't look good even. Some concern for Jonathan Taylor, who basically didn't play in the fourth quarter almost. The coaching staff said that they weren't trying to run the ball or use the running back to catch passes there. So again, truly they were trying to run like four verts all the way down when they were down. So yeah, not great. They lost to Malik Willis, which is probably even worse. Malik Willis.
Yeah, they did. Your boy lost to Malik Willis. I forgot about that.
Yeah, losing to Malik Willis is always fun. Their defense, if I'm not mistaken, it's a bottom three defense in this league right now. So also not good. So I expected an easier start of the season. I expected them to look a bit better to start the season. It's clearly not going to happen right now. Looks like they're probably still like the second best team in the division, because the other one is the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm really hoping that Josh Downs changes how this goes. So I have some faith in this team. Because I really like them, and I like the pieces in general. I like the coaching. But at the end of the day, like, if they are that one-dimensional, and Richardson is still playing like he's on his sixth start at this point, I mean, there's not much to do here.
Are you willing to criticize your boy now? Does he not look that much better than Justin Fields?
He looks better than Justin Fields. Let's not get that wrong. But that's not hard to do, though. So
he doesn't look that much better, my dude.
He doesn't look that much better, but he looks better. He looks like he at least belongs. Like, I think in terms of reading the field, it's that better. He's not all that much better. He makes a lot of the mistakes that Fields used to do in terms of, like, avoiding the short and intermediate stuff, because he really can't hit it at a high clip. But I think his deep ball looks much better. I think his arm is better than Fields, and I think his throwing motions are better than Fields. I think his throwing routine in general is better than Fields, and I think he can at least go through progression somewhat, unlike Fields. So.
Go through progression somewhat, unlike.
And also, let's not forget, I was criticizing Fields for doing that on year three. Richardson is on his sixth game. Starting. So, better days will come, I think.
Let's see.
Okay, it's time for you to eat an L as well here. How did your boy do?
The Levis?
Is your former OC going to have a stroke until the end of the season? Because it looks like it.
He looks like he already had the stroke, my dude.
It's just... I don't think I've ever seen a coach be that open at criticizing his QB in the media. Right, but hey, maybe no, that's what Will Levis needs. It's just like, they asked him what that was, and he was like, I mean, it sucked. He knows that he can't do that. That's a terrible play. I told him that's a terrible play.
What the fuck are you doing exactly?
But then in the media, like when they asked him at the podium, he was like, yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed at him. I'm disappointed that he's doing these plays. It seems like he's not thinking. Things along those lines, like just completely shitting on the dude. So maybe if he understands that's what he needs right now, he doesn't need someone to cuddle him and he needs something to basically hit him with the harsh reality. It's still surprising that they are going with that drought.
I mean, okay. In his defense, in Will Levis's defense, he doesn't look like a bad quarterback until he makes a bad decision. He looks like a decent to good quarterback or the worst quarterback you've ever seen. And there is no in between. There is absolutely no in between.
I mean, I'm not sure if he ever becomes like the best QB I've ever seen.
Oh. No, I didn't say the best. I said he looks like a good quarterback or the worst quarterback you've ever seen.
I think at best he looks average, and at worst he looks like he is a step above Bryce Young.
A step.
And that's the absolute worse. So yeah, it doesn't get to Bryce Young levels, although his mistakes at times maybe do get to that level, because it's really that wild. Like, again, it was another mistake this week where he tries to throw the football or get rid of the football while throwing a lateral pass, and he just sort of throws it to the ground, so that's a fumble immediately. Again, really weird after the interception from last week. Well, on week one, that is, where he just goes with his hands on top of his head, which is still one of the most hilarious things that I've seen in the NFL in the past few years. But
bad.
Better, not good. And there are on two. I mean, the entirety of the NFC South is on two, outside of the Titans, of the Texans. Other than that, the Raiders and the Ravens. Why did you add that sense that maybe the Ravens would blow it? Because they really did. They were like up the entirety of the game. And then they sort of just shut the bed at the end.
Yeah, they really did. I don't know. It was just this feeling. Like, it felt like a trap game to me because, for whatever reason, the Raiders play pretty good against really good teams up until the end, usually. And they look really, really bad against your average teams. Like really, really bad. Like I said, I can't describe the feeling. It's just a feeling I get sometimes. And it's right an eerie amount of times.
It's just follow your instinct. Because, like, at one point they were, I don't know, like, Let me open up the box score here, because I remember, yeah, they were up 3 going into the fourth, and then I believe in the fourth they were up like 10, and then the Raiders scored like 13 points. Justin Tucker missing 2 field goals, which is really weird. He missed 1 field goal. Yeah, that's it. The stat that I had was that there's only one player that has missed 50 plus field goals this season. And there were only 2 misses in the NFL, and it was both by Justin Tucker. So quite weird that the quote unquote perfect kicker is missing kicks now. So it really seems like it all just fell in place for you and your small little prediction there. Because yeah, the Ravens just completely unraveled. Like at one point, Derrick Henry didn't really have all that many yards. He wasn't really doing anything to start the game. The Raiders, who were supposed to be a team that we thought would run a lot, end up running on this game like 17 times in general, and only 9 of those were with the primary running back, which it looks quite shit as well. Let's put it at that. Like everyone that was on some of your hype, White. Hype train sort of needs to get off of it, because that train seems to be heading to a bridge that is cut in half. So, yeah, but in terms of like passing, Gardner Minshew threw the ball 38 times. So, they seem to at least be pass happy. He had some mistakes. The game wasn't perfect, but at the end of the day, they seem to have won that. This seems like the Ravens' offense really isn't clicking yet. So,
yeah, but that's the thing. The Ravens looked like they were world beaters against the Chiefs. I'm starting to wonder if the Chiefs' defense isn't as good as we think it is, if I'm being honest. I'm being serious.
No, maybe. That could be a situation. I would think that it's weird, because on paper, their names and the guys they have in that team are probably the best unit that they've had in quite a while. But maybe you're right, yeah. That could make sense as well. Like, if yeah, they do, I don't
they
really
played think the we Bengals know anything. And they played the Ravens, right? They played the Bengals and they played the Ravens early when their offenses don't usually look as good. And they still gave up points to them. I'm just saying.
Maybe you're onto something there. Okay, other than that, which other game were we missing?
When the Saints come marching in. When the Saints come marching in. When the Saints come in. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
They destroyed the Cowboys.
Yeah. Alvin Kamara must have thought that it was Christmas. Yes, and 4 touchdowns. I believe it was Christmas of 2021 or 2022.
I will now ask you again if you're ready to say Derek Carr is a better quarterback than a much better quarterback than Geno Smith.
Oh, okay. So I can't say that Anthony Richardson is a good QB because he only had 9 completions. But you can say that Derek Carr is a good QB because he had 11 completions. Got it. Just wanted to make sure. It's 2 touchdowns. One of them was for Rashid Shaheed. Again, 70-yard bombs. That seems to be what they are doing there. Every game they get one of those. Then he had another one to Alvin Kamara, who was a dump-off that Kamara took for 57 yards. So I just want to point out that out of the 243 yards that he had passing, 70 of those were for Rashid Shaheed. 57 were to Alvin Kamara, so that's a total of 127. So more than half of his passing yards were on those 2 plays. One of them was just Kamara doing what Kamara does and taking a dump off to the house, and the other was a good deep pass. Let's leave it at that. So it was a good deep pass, but it still feels like I can't trust the Saints yet, man. I really can't. I think they are better than what I expected. But I still can, man. And I think it, the craziest thing is that I think it's going to continue for another week at least. Because if there's a team that isn't a pretender, but should be, not a pretender because they're 1-1.
What are you going to do? Saints versus Eagles. This is like your Haterade wet dream that, but you have to pick one to win now. So what are you going to do? I mean, who are you going to call?
We'll see. Let's give it another 15 minutes or so. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, the defense looks good. The offense looked much better than I expected. But it's still such a small sample size. I mean, they have had... How many attempts do you think they've had so far in the season?
The Saints?
Yeah.
Through 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Pass attempts?
Yes.
45.
39.
That was close.
They haven't even had 40 pass attempts on the season yet. And like, Derek Carr usually gets around 34 a game across his career. So it's quite weird that they are passing so little. Right now they're averaging the 19.5 yards per or 19.5 attempts per game, so 20 attempts per game. That's nearly half of what he usually attempts. So I think eventually I want to see them face a team that actually gives them troubles. I think what I didn't expect was Kubiak to be this great of an OC, and I think if I have to give this to someone, it's probably him, because the team really didn't change all that much from last season. But he came in, and like I was seeing a Twitter post here in terms of like the personnel used across the different teams, and it's like you look at a bunch of teams, and it's like, for example, the Rams, they just run 11 personnel all the time. The Lions run mostly 11 personnel. The Browns run mostly 11 personnel. Seahawks as well. And then you look at the Saints chart, and it's like they run 12 personnel the most, but they run like every type of personnel a good bit. So it's just like the tweet that I saw was then like the throw random shit and hope that it hits. And it's like
and it's sticking to the wall, baby.
And it's sticking to the wall. I mean, it's working right now. So I don't know what to tell you, man. Maybe you were right here on something. I'm still gonna have to doubt them for a bit more. But it's like I'm looking at their schedule, and it's like the Saints are going to face next the Philadelphia Eagles. Then they go at Atlanta, they go at KC, and they face the Buccaneers. I think after that stretch, maybe we have some sort of a sizable sample to say if they're good or not. Because it's not an easy schedule. Like, although the Eagles, like, the defense even looks worse than last year, which is quite hard, I would say. But they look worse than last year. But then they have the Falcons next, which, I mean, versus the Eagles, they look decent to good. Then they have KC. And KC is going to be a primetime game as well.
Would I be crazy to pick them against KC?
Right now you would, because there's no Lions yet. But you can pick them against Atlanta. Just so you know, Atlanta right now is favorite versus the Saints.
I'm so picking the Saints in that one.
But that's week four, though. So...
We've been at this for almost an hour. Do you want to do the pretenders contenders thing, or do you want to go into the lines? We have enough time to do either.
Yeah, I think we can do both. Let's try and do both here. Let's get this one going fairly quick.
We've talked about the games in general. We're gonna talk about.
Yeah, but I guess games wise, I think we're good. So yeah, as Angela saying, we're going to debut a small little segment here in terms of like early in the season. There's a lot of teams that go 2-0 to start the season, teams that we didn't really expect. And it's always fun to talk about these teams and see if we were wrong about them to start the season, or if they're actually good. So we're going to call them either pretenders or contenders. There's no in-between here. There's a few teams that I would like to have an in-between, but we're going to have to make the tough choices, and we're going to make the call if they're actually a good team or if they're just pretenders.
To clarify, contenders means you think they can win the division, not their Super Bowl contender, right?
No, that, you just think that they're good. Like they're, you okay, think that they're okay. actually good, have a shot at doing something. So,
got it.
Okay, or if it's just like I'm they cool. face the Panthers and whoever in the first games. So,
got it. Yep.
Okay, first team here, the Houston Texans, pretenders or contenders?
Contenders. Okay. Easy contenders.
Yeah, I would think so as well. Contenders. Again,
better than the Colts. Much better than the Colts.
Yeah. Okay, I take it. They are better than the Colts. They look complete. Nico Collins looks like a true alpha. Stephon Diggs being included in that offense looks good. Yep. Doesn't look as washed with Buffalo. Still doesn't look like the alpha that he once was, but he looks like a good player.
Still Bengals Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
It's just all good. All good on the...
Yeah, secondary has improved.
Offense. Yep, defense has improved, yep.
In general, we agree on that. Now, the Minnesota Vikings. Pretenders or contenders?
Pretenders.
You think so?
Yes.
I'm going to be bold here, and I'm going to say they're actually contenders.
They play in a division with the Lions and... Okay. With the Lions and the Packers. Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna say this. And it's probably a bit hot takey, but I'll say it anyway.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised, based on what I saw so far, that at the end of the season,
oh, Lord.
The team that wins the NFC North
don't do it.
Is the Vikings.
Oh, my God.
I'll explain. I'm looking at the Lions, and their defense looks soft as butter. They seem to struggle a bit on offense. Not a whole lot. I still think their offense is good. But I think the inclusion of Jameson Williams is creating a bit of a scenario that they have to adjust for. And I think the offense isn't utilizing all of the pieces at the same rate that they were last season. So I think it's going to take a bit more of an adjusting phase there. And as I said, on defense, I think they're really weak. And then the Vikings. Yeah, and then the Packers. I mean, Jordan Love has the injury to the knee, the MCL injury. Even if he comes back, or PCL, it was one of those two. Always confuse those. But even when he comes back, I mean, that could affect his mobility. There's a high chance of re-injuring the knee. So I think there could be concerns there. And I'm looking at this Vikings team. And Sam Darnold has 4 touchdowns and hasn't really made any sort of critical mistakes. The defense looked good. I mean, they at least looked like they gave hell to the Niners. Brock Purdy had probably one of, if not the worst game that he ever had in his career. So that's 2 weeks in a row that the Giants, that the Vikings D looked good. First game was versus Daniel Jones. Sure, we sort of didn't really care about that one. But the second one, it's versus one of the best teams in the NFL, the Niners. So I think this defense is good. I think the offense, Sam Darnold is operating this offense at a very high caliber. So I think they're contenders, actually. I think they're a good team.
You're insane. They're going to face the fucking Lions and a Packers team with Jordan Love, and they're going to get ramrolled, and you're going to be out here like, well, you know, I guess they were who we thought they were. No.
Let's see.
You might be able to talk me into a wild card spot. Winning this division, no shot in hell. No shot in hell.
Just saying, I wouldn't be surprised with the scenarios in front of us. Looks like they're actually playing well. I mean, Kevin O'Connell, has this team prepared? Has this team ready to play football? Not a whole lot of mistakes happening. Defense is solid, being coached by Brian Flores there. I think this defense is solid.
And this team is solid in general. So they're a complete team. Okay. Your guys here. We talked about them a bit already, but the Saints, 2-0. Where are they?
You already know.
Yeah, I have to agree. Right now, they look like contenders. It's one of those teams that I would say it's in the middle for me. But again, no middle, so I think they've done enough on offense.
They look like the best team in the NFC, quite honestly.
I mean, they look like best team, period. I mean, they have an offense like the 2009 Patriots right now, so... Yeah, but
yeah, there's nothing bad to say. Derek Carr is looking like a top five quarterback in the NFL. The defense is doing great. Like, yeah, that's not debatable to me. Go on.
The Chargers at 2-0. I'm gonna say they are contenders.
I think they're pretenders.
I think this team is like a better version of the Steelers right now. I think the QB is better. I think the run game is a bit better. The wide receivers aren't better, but they're to an equal level, I would say, in general. And the defense, although it's not as good as the Steelers' defense, I think it evens out with the offense.
I think so, the Chargers are held together on J.K. Dobbins' ACL is actually staying together, and the fact that their time of possession is ridiculously in their favor every single game.
How do you get that? But you get that by being a good defense and being able to run the ball well. And if we know something about Greg Roman's offenses, is that they tend to run the ball pretty well. So, and they remind me of those Greg Roman Baltimore Ravens offense and those Baltimore Ravens teams in general, well, where they will just beat up really shitty teams. And yeah, for their luck, they have a lot of shitty teams in their calendar. So I think this team is actually a contender.
This is not the Chargers team that I know and love. I know that. But
it is not.
I don't think this year. They have no weapons. I can't. Quinn Johnson. By the way, Quinn Johnson wheels up. 2 touchdown game. Wheels up. Wheels up.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Would you at least say Quinn Johnson's the wide receiver one on this team?
I mean, last week he was. The week prior he wasn't. So what do you want me to tell him? Like, I think it's going to be like a wide receiver by rotation. Almost.
We'll see. Quinn Johnson wheels up. He's not dead.
He's not dead. Let's put it at that. Okay, I'll agree he's not dead. But I don't think he's alive either. He's like in a weird middle stage there.
In fact, hold on, sleeper. Players. John. Oh, no, I'm not getting him. Never mind. Go on.
Okay. Other than that, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pretenders.
I agree. They are pretenders. I think the minute that they have to face an actual offense and a team that puts up over 20 points, I think they will lose. It's funny because they face the Chargers this week, and I think it's very much
that's going to be the most boring game on the face of this fucking earth.
Yeah, the over under on this game is 35.5 points.
Yeah,
so
that's not shot. I'd vote the under. Is that sad?
Probably. It's gonna be like 13-10, something like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say 17-10, but yeah, something like that.
You're putting way too much faith on this team. Like, this game is gonna be over in like 2 hours.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be the first game done of the night if it's at the 1 o'clock slot.
And like the Chargers Panthers one was like every game was in like beginning of the third quarter or like couple of minutes into the third quarter, and they had already finished the third quarter. We're already going into like midway through the fourth or something like that. So this, I mean, the time of possession that they take out, it's just wild. But yeah, this is going to be like an interesting matchup. But yeah, they're pretenders as well. I think Justin Fields hasn't been bad, but I also think he hasn't been asked to do anything. So with the minute that he gets asked to do something, I think it's gonna go tits up. So okay,
when does Russell Wilson come back?
It seems right now that Russell Wilson's quad, I believe that's his injury, his quad is only going to be fully healthy after Justin Fields makes a mistake.
Oh, he's only going to be healthy after
It definitely feels like they are taking their sweet time with Russell Wilson. It's going to be, he's going to be a bit more. We're going to keep giving the snaps to Justin Fields right now. We're going to keep game planning for him. But that dude is going to change quickly.
Justin Fields? Do you feel bad that Justin Fields has been able to keep this starting position spot?
And it truly feels like they're just like, okay, game by game here, as long as Justin doesn't lose the game. It seems like they're afraid of the pitchfork mob that are the Justin Fields fan club. So they really don't want to piss them off. And they're just,
you said there's only a few hundred of those left.
I mean, but they are a noisy minority. So I don't know. You don't want to get into arguments with those guys. So you need to get away from them. And that's what they are doing. But you just see, the moment that Justin Fields struggles, Russell Wilson will be fine and healthy, ready to start. Just wait. Okay. The 2-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They might also be contenders.
I think they're,
which is weird because they're in the same division as the Saints, but
yeah.
They might also,
but they look great. Just in general, they look great. Like, the offense looks good, the defense doesn't look amazing, but it looks passable at least.
I wish we would have had like Saints versus Bucks week 3. I'm not gonna lie,
it's gonna happen on week 6, I believe. It's after the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun matchup. Or it's going to be like 10-13.
Mm-hmm.
After that, okay, there's only three more teams. My Seattle Seahawks. It's likely a team that I would put in the middle if we had that tier. But unlike the Saints, since we do not have that here, I'm going to say that they are pretenders. I mean, I said it when we talked about versus the Dolphins. Yeah, I think we're getting a bit too much respect, and we really haven't shown anything, especially this iteration of Zach Charbonnet. I thought this offense doesn't look as dynamic without our main guy. The defense, I think, is good, and I think it's a team that's going to keep progressing. I think we're going to win a few games because our schedule isn't terrible, I think. Yeah, we face Miami this week, then we go at Detroit, but then we face the Giants afterwards. Then we still are getting the Niners without CMC, without Debo, likely. Then we're going at Atlanta. I mean, the schedule isn't good, but it's also not terrible. It could be much worse things here. So I think, hey, we're at least at the top of the division right now, but I do think we're pretenders. At least, like, as far as being a good team go, I think we are, we by the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if we're good, if we're actually a good team.
Oddly enough, the more I think about it, the more I might actually say you're contenders, for the simple fact that the Rams have kind of just like eliminated themselves from the conversation with injuries.
Want to point out. Go on. I need to find something.
You might actually, unironically, be the second best team in the NFC West. behind the 49ers, of course.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. I mean, but I had us as the second best team in the West. You just thought that we were the worst. So
okay, tell me with a straight face, if the Rams are healthy, you think they're that right now the Seahawks look better than the Rams, because they don't.
It's hard for me to know what the Rams look like when they're healthy, when they haven't been healthy the whole season.
You saw them with Puka and, oh my god, you saw them go toe-to-toe with the Lions. Stop it.
True, I did.
Stop this nonsense.
I don't know. I think it's even. I think our defense is much better. I think our all line is much better than theirs. I mean, that's the stat that I was trying to look for. But they are the worst line in the NFL by a mile in terms of PFF grading. In fact, from the 31st, the difference from like the 31st team to the last team, which is the Rams, to like the 31st team in like middle of the pack is the actual same. Like, I believe their grade in the PFF is 25 something. The grade of the second worst team is 50 something. So it's actually goddamn awful. But I think we would be a bit better. I think our defense is better. I think our O-line is better. But I think it's just growing pains here. It's a new OC. It's a new head coach. This is an OC that is his first time in the coaching an NFL offense, if I'm not mistaken. Ryan Grubb, coming from Washington, coaching college. So I think just overall, it's just about growing and about understand what we're doing here. I think Geno has been very good. I believe he leads the NFL in completed percentage right now. So I think Geno has been playing well. I think the offense in general has been doing well as well. So it's just about getting back Kenneth Walker.
I think you're crazy. We'll see.
Geno Smith is fourth in the league in completed percentage. So he's doing well. He's playing well. Offense is okay. Would be better with Kenneth Walker. The defense has been solid. Still a few mistakes here and there, especially versus the Patriots. We showed a few mistakes. And even then, like, our offense faced two defenses that I think are actually quite okay to good. And the Broncos and the Patriots. So. Okay, two teams here remaining. The 2-0 Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, obvious pretenders. No, they're contenders.
Obviously, dude. In it. contenders it is.
They're contenders for the actual championship.
Yeah, and the in my eyes, surprising 2-0 Buffalo Bills.
You know, I think they're contenders too.
I think they're contenders too. We doubted them prior to the season starting.
So, to be fair, their offense has at times looked atrocious, but the defense hasn't regressed as much as I thought it would.
Yeah, I mean, it should be interesting to know what happens now, because now they also lost Terrell Bernard. They're starting inside linebacker. So, it should be interesting to see what happens here. But yeah, the offense looked off at times. The defense has looked good, I guess.
Better than I
Josh
thought.
Allen. Josh Allen is having a great season, though. Again.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so those are the teams, the 2-0 teams. Contenders, pretenders. How many pretenders did we have? Only the Seahawks. That we both agreed on. So it was the Seahawks, and it was the Steelers.
Yep.
That's it, I think. That's the two pretenders that we both agreed on. Mm-hmm. Okay, final segment of the show.
Here we go. So there's going to be a new Angelo going by his gut, not by the words that Alex says out of his mouth.
Hey, that's what I should have done with the Niners and the Vikings.
Damn straight.
Okay, so last week, as I said, Angelo went 7-9. I went 6-10 overall total. Angelo has 15 wins. I have 13 wins. So I'm chasing him 2 now instead of 1. He won me by 1 on both weeks. So neither of us still have a winning week. You had a week going 500. So props to you. But that's the most that we had right now. Let's see if we can switch that up. Thursday night football. All
right. Are you going to go first or me?
Yeah, I go first. Okay, I go first. The New England Patriots going at the New York Football Jets. The Jets are 7.5-point favorites. The over-under is an absolute atrocity. The over-under is 37.5. Looks like a prime Thursday night football game. The line has gone down a bit. Their line is now Jets -6.5 instead of 7.5, but the lines are locked here.
I like that line. I like that line a lot better, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but for that's my take debate here, it's interesting that I'm leaning a bit more towards the Jets purely because of one thing, because the Patriots were involved in an overtime game, and but this is like the trend that I have here. It's like teams going off from an overtime game to a Thursday night football game are 7-20-something. The next game that is versus the spread, but like this is a trend for like the beginning of overtime, so it's not really a trend at all. I kind of think this is way too many points for a 37.5 line, so I'm just going with the Patriots +7.5.
We got set. You've jinxed so many lines this year.
I'll drop you a betting trend here, an actual betting trend. Aaron Rodgers is making his second consecutive start on short rest. So he played on Monday Night Football, goes here, short rest. Now he's getting short rest again, going into Thursday Night Football. He has failed to cover 5 of his final 7 short rested games as a favorite with the Packers. Back when he was with the Packers,
when he was actually,
this wasn't great. Yeah.
Okay. My gut said New England. I'm going to stick with New England. It was the Alex pick New England debate. All right.
Okay.
The next game. This is what the Packers Jets line should have been. Giants versus Browns. Browns are favored by 6.5. Now, that's an actual debate. Because here's the thing. I don't think the Browns offense is good enough to cover a 6.5-point spread. Just full stop. The issue is, and here's where the pause comes in, the Browns defense is good enough to cover a 6.5-point spread, especially if Mr. Pick Six himself rears his ugly head and donates 7 points to Cleveland. Which is what I actually think that might happen. You know what? That means the gut says Cleveland 6.5. I was going to go the Giants, but no. Cleveland.
I mean, my rationale is basically the same as yours. I think Cleveland's defense is way too good just for this to be laying just this number. The offense isn't great. I get it.
The offense isn't good enough to cover that spread. I'm telling you that right now.
But yeah, but like the Giants in general are probably not good enough to cover the spread. So
but Malik Nabbers is. This is why
Malik Nabbers is. Sure, Malik Nabbers is. But it the moment that they start completely covering off Malik Nabbers, I'm not sure how this defense or this offense is gonna actually gonna work. Yeah. So we shall see. But yeah, I'm with you there. I think it's fairly easy for me that the line here is.
Oh my god! This next game is my worst fucking nightmare.
Your worst fucking nightmare.
Oh
Okay.
no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, just give me a small minute here.
Yes,
Something
sir.
happened.
And then the next one you're gonna do is your worst fucking nightmare, so it evens out.
Yeah. But this one is the Chicago Bears at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 1.5 point favorites versus the Bears.
Oh, man.
Tricky game here. Tricky game.
I have a rule now for this game.
I'm probably going to surprise you here.
It's your first son and your second son. Which one do you like more?
I'm going to take the Bears plus 1.5.
Okay, the rule was go against whatever Alex was going, so give me the Colts.
Okay.
I don't feel good
second
about
straight
it,
week.
But
Caleb Williams and the Bears are playing inside. Rookie QBs are 11-5-1 ATS in the past 17 games.
You really
inside.
Want to get that fucking percentage up now. You freaking bringing up next gen stats. You're paid by Amazon now.
I'm getting it everything in.
He wants every advantage he can get. I need to win. I have to win. I cannot lose again, says Alex. It cannot happen again. It was bad last year. It has to at least be closer. I need to win this year.
Hey, next up.
That's me, bitch. Next up, Houston Texans at Minnesota Vikings. Houston Texans are favored by 2.5. I just called the Vikings frauds. I think their fairy tale is about to end. I'm going with Houston.
Okay. Exact opposite. I'm going with the Vikings here, plus 2.5. Only the Panthers have a lower cover rate when favored since 2021 than the Texans. And Sam Darnold is 12-7-1 ATS for his career as a home underdog. So, Vikings it is for me here.
Oh my God, you have all this shit right.
I'm just going with the motions. Next up, Philadelphia Eagles at the New Orleans Saints. This one is a layup for me, purely because there's a whole lot of value here. Right now, the Saints are 2.5 point favorite. Hard line is still Saints plus 1.5. So I'm just taking the points here. It's Saints plus 1.5. You can't go against me here, isn't it?
That's the debate. I think you're jinxing my children. My precious Saints. You're fucking jinxing them. Give me the Eagles. You're fucking jinxing my children. I swear to God.
Okay, if you say so.
You're jinxing them, and I don't like it. You were supposed to pick the Eagles, goddammit. You picked the Saints. Okay. So, Clippers. Chargers versus Steelers. This is going to be the worst. I already said it. It's going to be the worst fucking game of the week. I actually do think, even though the Steelers' defense is the best unit on the field, I think this is the game Justin Fields... This might be Justin Fields' last game. I do think the Chargers win this outright. Give me the Chargers. Time for them to hurt me again.
Yeah, same. Right there with you. They are similar teams. So I'm just going to take the Chargers plus 1.5.
Oh, my God.
I would say, though, betting trend here. The Steelers have covered in 5 straight games. This is the longest active streak in the league. But yeah, I'm with you. I'll take the Chargers. Next up, the Denver Broncos at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What are you going to do here?
I want to take the Broncos. No, I want to take the Buccaneers, but I think I'm going to go with the Broncos. The Broncos are 7 3-1 ATS in the past 11 games when they are underdogs by more than 3 points. And Baker Mayfield is 13-27-1 when favored. So I'm just going to go with the Broncos here.
You must have prepared a whole day for this. Give me the Buccaneers. Jesus, dude.
I'm wired right now, man. I'm wired. I'm going to win it this year.
The Green Bay Packers at the Tennessee Titans. Somehow the Tennessee Titans are favored by 2.5 points. This is too... Give me the Titans.
Well, surprisingly enough, I'm with you there. I'll take the Titans minus 2.5. Purely because I have this weird rationale that a good team, when they get the first game of a backup QB, they tend to overperform what they do afterwards. And I think we saw the Malik Willis effect. Now, if Jordan Love would come back, which doesn't seem to be out of the norm because he practiced this week, but I would still suppose that it's Malik Willis. If he comes back. But I'm still thinking it's going to be Malik Willis. So if it is Malik Willis...
I ran with the assumption it was Willis too. Yeah, gone, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee minus 2.5. Just because I think their defense is actually very good. It's hard for me to trust Levis to not blow this up. But third time is the charm, I guess. Okay. Next up, the Carolina Panthers at the Las Vegas Raiders. Let me just check what the current line is. Current line is still the same, 5.5 here. The Raiders are 5.5-point favorites.
You just gave your blueprint for this game.
But the thing is, the blueprint was when a good team gets the backup first game in. Carolina is not a good team whatsoever. So I'm going to go with the Raiders minus 5.5. The Raiders have covered 5 of the past 6 games when favored. And the Panthers have failed to cover 4 straight games.
Give me the Panthers.
Okay. You're going against the advanced analytics stuff.
No, I'm going against you.
Okay, got it. Next up.
The Miami Dolphins at the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks are favored by 6.5 points, and I'm sure you have some kind of analytics for this. Skylar Thompson is playing. I will actually take Miami and their 6.5 points. I think there's low-key a chance that Miami wins this outright. And you did give me the blueprint.
Oh. Good team getting the backup QB. I like it purely because of the line as well. It's 6.5 right now. It's 4.5 for Seahawks, most places. I'll also give you that the Dolphins have covered 6 of the past 7 road games in September. And Geno Smith is 0-2-2 ATS in his past 4 starts as a home favorite. So I'm going to go with Miami Dolphins plus 6.5 as well. I don't think we'll lose this game, but I think it's much closer than it seems. I think it's going to be like a 3-point game either way. In this case, our way, because I don't think we're losing. Okay. The Arizona Cardinals, the Detroit Lions at the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are 3.5-point underdogs in this scenario. The line is now 3 on the dot. Purely because of that, I want to say Cardinals plus 3.5 because I'm getting the hook if it's a touchdown, if it's a field goal game. So 3.5 for me here.
Give me the Lions. Okay. The Baltimore Ravens at the Dallas Cowboys. The Baltimore Ravens are only favored by 1.5. Is this the game the Ravens come back or start to stage that comeback? This is actually a really hard call because I don't think with how badly Dallas got creamed up against the Saints that they're going to come out looking that bad again. At the same time, the Ravens, not a bad team. I think the Ravens do win this outright and start to come back. Give me the Ravens.
Okay. Right there with you. Give you two things here. Lamar Jackson is 3-1 ATS when playing indoors.
Oh my.
And there are three active QBs with MVP trophies on their mantle. That's Aaron Jones, that's Mahomes, that's Lamar Jackson. Dak Prescott's last five results in a game against one of them were all losses, and he failed to cover ATS, any of them. So, Baltimore Ravens, -1.5. That's my pick.
Thank God.
I'm ready. Okay.
I swear to God, if this is your worst week ever, I'm going to die. I'm just going to start like with a laughing track. Start of the next week's episode.
The San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams, or what was once the Los Angeles Rams. Niners are 7.5-point favorite going to Los Angeles. And I've seen this matchup way too many times, so I'm going with San Francisco -7.5. Kyle Shanahan just loves shitting on McVay. McVay is 4-10-1 ATS against the Niners. And they lost six of those ATS losses. They lost by double digits versus the Niners. Also, Shanahan with the 49ers. They are 11-6-1 when playing on the road games following the road contest.
I don't give a fuck about any of those stats. I was going with the 49ers regardless.
Okay. As you wish.
Kansas City Chiefs at Atlanta Falcons. Kansas City Chiefs favored by 4.5. So, I am going to continue to roll with my theory that the Chiefs defense is not as good as we think it is. And Kirk Cousins started to show flashes of being more comfortable on that Achilles. I actually am going to go with Atlanta here to cover that spread. I think it's going to be a closer game than people think.
I agree. Right there with you. Atlanta +4.5 for me as well. No, no fancy stats here. No Atlanta +4.5. Okay, last two games. So it's Monday Night Football doubleheader. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Buffalo Bills.
And I will be able
Bills.
To watch both those games now. I start my position Saturday. Nice.
You will. You can catch both of these. And one of them is your team. But the Buffalo Bills are 5.5-point favorites versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. The advanced analytics actually tell me to pick the Jacksonville Jaguars here. But there's no way anything can make me pick the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm going to go against everything I've researched and just go with the Bills -5.5. I'll tell you that the Bills are 2-6 ATS over the past 8 home games. So,
I was about to say, you can go ahead and give those Jag stats because I'm going with them.
The Jag stats, the Jags covered in their season opener in Miami, improving them to 9-4 in their past 13 games against the AFC East. So, 9-4 versus AFC East, and they are facing the Bills.
Wow. The Cincinnati Bengals at home against the Washington Commanders. The Bengals are favored by 8.5. Is T. Higgins playing? I heard that he's on track to play, but I haven't heard officially if they've said it.
Yeah, I think it's still unknown right now. Plus, they play on Monday Night Football, so I'm expecting news to be a bit more delayed.
That's fair as well. I think we're going to win. I will be very surprised if we don't win. I think 8.5 is too much, and I'm actually going to go with the Commanders.
Same year. I mean, Commanders plus 8.5. Since 2007, rookie QBs are 21-8-1 ATS on Monday nights. So these games tend to be close. This game tend to favor the teams getting a lot of points. And the unders are usually a good play when Burrow plays in primetime as a favorite. Unders are 4-0-1. So you mix all of that up. The overline number isn't great. I mean, it's 47 right now. It's not super, super high. The line has gone down a bit as well. It's now 7.5. So 8.5, you're getting a full point over what the line currently is. This seems like way too many points. I think the Commanders are actually a solid offense. They aren't just completing it. They are just not running it in right now. When that flip switches, I think this offense will be a bit better. But now the issue is their defense. I'm not sure if the defense can hold Burrow to anything. But yeah, 8.5 in a primetime game on Monday seems like way too much. So right there with you.
That is the concern, that the Bengals offense just goes hog wild against the Commanders defense. But at the same time, the Commanders offense doesn't look terrible. I do actually have faith in them to put up some points. It's just how many and how many the defense will give up is the question. But I will take the points. It is still early in the season, so we'll see.
And that's a wrap. We've done everything in the sheet right now that we had to do. Do you have anything else to add?
I do not. We did good. Okay. We did a good time, honestly. All things considered.
Yeah.
I was expecting to get out of here at 4. It's 3. I am surprised.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, as always, thank you for tuning in unto this part as well. If you're listening on the Apple Podcasts app, Spotify app, wherever you listen to your podcast, leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment. Turn on the auto downloads as well. Really helps out the show, and it's the best way that you can support us without any sort of monetary help. So doesn't take anything. Takes like 1 minute or two. And we appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, you know what to do. All of those good things that you've been doing for a while now. Enjoy Thursday night football. Yeah, that you're gonna be watching in like 12 hours from when this comes out. Enjoy that game. Enjoy another week of football. And as always, talk to you next week.
Told you we were coming with more energy today. When I say something, you book it.